Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers give out lots and lots of answers. I forgot to write this part again. I am one half of this show, writer, runner, Hell's Kitchen sous chef, coming at you with big second husband energy, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie, and I'm coming to you live from the back of my garage. Usually I tell you a little bit about myself, but I thought maybe today it would be fun if I just like paint you a picture of where I am.
Okay.
It's dark. It's very, very dusty. Mm-hmm. It smells like worms because we have worms. And I'm surrounded by all the things in my life that I don't really want anymore, but I can't throw away for whatever reason.
Name some of those things.
Okay. There's a big snoo box, which is a cardboard box that carried the bassinet for my daughter, which we've since given away. But the box now contains some like ski equipment and like some other things that I need it to hold stuff, but it takes up a lot of room and I don't really want to go through it because that would mean then I have to find a place for all that other stuff. I have two gas cans. One of them even has a little bit of gas in it.
Hey.
Not a useful amount. Some screen for Windows, but not like an actual screen you could use. Just if you ever wanted to make your own screen, you'd have to obviously produce the frame first. But then after that, you're set because I've got this.
These to me, if I may, these sound like things you can throw out. When you said I can't throw them out for whatever reason, I thought either they were going to be like sentimental or heavy.
Oh, no, it's not like a logistical issue. It's like I'm worried that I'm going to need this stuff.
Oh, okay.
At some point. And I'm so frequently right. That's the kicker because it does end up coming useful again. I've got like a whole shelf of paints that were used for this house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want them. It's like half filled things of paint. When you open them, they smell like sulfur. But I got to keep them in case like the baseboards get damaged. And now I got to go back and paint them.
To me, that's incredibly reasonable. I have the same stuff in my own apartment. And as you and our listeners know, I've been staying in a rented house in a small beach town in New Jersey for a few months now. And I love everything about the place. But except for like that forgettable, but completely unnecessary until it's necessary stuff that you just need around the house. Like I'm in the kitchen opening things and going through drawers and going like, where's his fucking kitchen scissors? Everyone's supposed to have kitchen scissors. Where is the stuff drawer that has the batteries and the clips that I need sometimes?
Yeah, there's nothing more baffling than staying in an Airbnb and realizing suddenly that there's not a single pen in the entire house. And you're like, what the fuck happened? What is this?
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare is an online learning community with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a free trial of premium membership. Wow!
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Hello Tushy is a sleek bidet attachment that clips onto your toilet and sprays your butt clean with fresh water. This is a special offer for our listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ and you can get 10% off.
We're going to get into our show where we ask each other questions and get some answers, but we've had a very patient guest who's been sitting back this whole time. Ladies and gentlemen,
oh, shit.
Friend of ours, friend of the show, you know him and love him, Cody Johnston. Cody, say hello.
Hello. And hi. Hey. Hi.
Hello, Cody.
I had things to add, but I wanted to be respectful. I agree with your foibles.
I see.
I saw you nodding a lot vigorously.
Yeah, you were like very attentive to what was going on. Like, he's right. You need those paints.
You need the paints, exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into the show, but first we want to ask you what we ask all of our guests, of which there have now been six.
Yeah.
Is there something that is new in your life from COVID, a new habit or a new attitude that you hope you keep going with in the real world?
Excellent phrasing.
Every single time, that's how we ask it.
So six. This is the sixth time you've asked perfectly.
Okay. Yes.
No notes. I a few things actually. They're kind of related, I guess. One thing I'm zooming like old friends, like college friends, and having like that don't live nearby more often, mm-hmm. Which is something that and like family and stuff, like actual like Zoom stuff, which is more was available to everybody before this.
Right.
But just not something I regularly did. So that's been something that I keep up with, and letting, you know, them know I love them and things like that. Slightly related to that is I'm playing more music, but in a more like a regular way. I'm trying to actually like hone my skills and develop them and like learn about what I'm doing. I've played guitar for like 15 years, and I just like I learned some chords and I wrote songs and I played them. You were there.
Yeah.
You were in the band. But now I'm actually like looking into and like developing like, okay, why did I do that? Why does this sound like this? What is like modes and intervals and just like learning scales and just like actually like making my hand hurt and things like that, which I would like to continue throughout my years.
Yeah, I've been trying to do the same thing with bass, because I'm the same way as you. Is I'm just sort of been playing for a while and like learning as I'm going, and like would learn tabs online, or I would just like jam with you until something sounded good. But you know, lock me in a room for 11 months with very little to do. I'm gonna just like sit and like try to actually get better at the bass for the first time. And like there's a band that I've fallen in love with during quarantine called Wolfpack. They're like a nerdy funk band that's very bass driven, bass forward band. Mm-hmm. And there are a song of theirs called Beastly, where I'm really pushing the limits of what I can do as a bass player, because that's a song that has like a main groove three or four times and then just open space for bass solos. And I know that I could sit like a robot and stare at tabs and memorize exactly what he's doing, but I'm trying to actually like, I want to know what notes are available to me so I can just like legitimately solo for
four bars
and just like play something.
Yeah.
If I'm dropped in the middle, if there's some emergency and like, we need someone to solo over Beastly, but it can't be the one that Joe Dart did. I'm like, okay, this is what I've been training
for. Like knowing, like being able to, that's was early, like mid last year was like, I'm going to just spend like a couple of hours every day. After about a month, I literally couldn't play for like a week because I like strained my fingers and hand. But just like, if I were to pop in a place and someone's like, hey, this song is in A Lydian, I'd be like, okay, I can solo over that. I can play whatever. And like, no matter what combination of keys, I can now participate in that like comfortably. Which like, again, you were there. I'd be like, I don't know, does this sound okay?
Yeah.
What's this going on?
Do you, so one time we were, you and I, this was after one of my, we went bowling together, and then we went to Bacon's house, and he had a, a keyboard, and you were playing it, and he asked you some music question about like what you're supposed to do. And I think you just said, oh, you just play the white keys. Does that sound right?
Oh, that is exactly what I would have said. That's all you got to do. You just pound on it. Sounds fine. Sound like you're like, okay, I can sit down. I can sit down in a hotel lobby and fake it.
Every piano comes with good keys and then like some bad keys. Don't fall for those.
Those are trick keys.
And we don't need to talk about this too much. I would love to be in that situation now and have Bacon ask me that question so I could like talk to death about it. I love talking about that and like music theory and like why this and this and this. And I also like, I play more than the white keys now.
Hey.
And I understand why and where they go and what my choices are.
You thought it was a design flaw this whole time.
Yeah. It's like, why do you even have these? There's like, the white ones are right in front of you. They sound fine together. So that's a huge thing. And like with drums and piano and guitar, and I might get a bass. I don't know.
Yeah, do it.
Why not? Playing a lot of mandolin too, but that's.
Oh, you know, I think you posted a video of you playing mandolin in your car and then never did that again.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And I was like, I'm going to post more stuff like this. And here we are.
No matter what 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes, because time is what we make of it. With Skillshare, you can find inspiration in the moment and learn how to express your creativity. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Bring color and beauty and fun to your year add vivid details, and craft complex wonders. At less than $10 a month, Skillshare is incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. I love Skillshare. I've taken a bunch of classes with them. One of them, my most recent one, is portrait photography. Shoot and edit Instagram-worthy shots. It might sound silly to phrase things that way, but that's exactly the kind of photography skills that I want. Devotees of the show know that I like to cook, and I fill my Instagram almost exclusively with pictures of meals that I make. And I was very frustrated for a very long time that I don't know how to make them look like they do in other people's professionally done Instagram photos. And I wanted to post pictures of my food that looked nice and looked professional without having to actually go to a class or get like special lighting equipment. And this class helped me do that. Once again, that class is portrait photography, shoot and edit Instagram worthy shots. It's great fun. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/QQ and get a free trial of premium membership. That's Skillshare.com/QQ. Let's do this show. I'm trying to be more conscious of the fact that I say we're going to get into the show where we ask each other questions about four times per episode.
But we're going to get into it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the part where we ask questions.
It's just so easy to derail you, Dan. That's the problem.
I really want to answer Bacon's question. Whatever it was, I don't remember what it was.
I do have a quick question for you, Cody. Mm-hmm. Do you have any indefensible movie rewatches? And this is not like, I'll clarify it endlessly to death as I always do. So this isn't something where it's like, everyone says this movie is bad, but you like it. Like I feel that way about Troy and about a couple other movies like Troy. And this is a movie that like, you know is bad and it's not enjoyably bad. You have a bad time watching it, but you still watch it. I'll give an example while you think about that. Mine is The Wolf of Wall Street. It sucks when I watch it. Everyone, there's a lot of really talented people in it, and I like them all. And I know Martin Scorsese is good.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
I was so amped for that movie because I saw the trailer for it, and my brother and I went to the theater to watch it, and it was a rare movie where, like, in the middle of the theater experience, we're like, I think this might be bad. Which doesn't happen often because I'm so easily like lulled to joy with just the experience of being in a movie,
right?
But this one was like,
you got to finish the thing.
I think I'm having a bad time, and then I've probably watched that movie 7 times since it's come out, and like I'm beginning
too many times. Even if you like the movie,
I'm starting to think that I'm really just so stupid that I'll watch the trailer and get effectively tricked by it. It does exactly what a trailer is supposed to do, where I watch it, even though I know it's bad, and I'm like, man, if they deliver on that movie, that'd be great. Let me just fire up this 3-hour fucking movie. Where
give it a shot. That's 3 hours?
My God. I don't know. It's way too long, too.
That's so long.
And it's like doesn't get better when I watch it. There's not.
You can remember the main moments, like the big moments that happen. A goldfish gets eaten. He falls out of his car on lewds. Like, there's little things you're looking for along the way, mm-hmm. and like you get to them, and you're like, oh, fuck. I think this is only about halfway.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have a sense of where they are in it. That movie's long.
It's really long. It's really bad. And, like, I've learned things. So someone's going to figure out what's wrong with my brain. After I watched the movie and didn't like it, I read the book that it's based on and I didn't like it. And I continue to watch the movie. And I also read a bunch of things about the movie. That, like, there's a scene where the horrible Wall Street bros pay one of their secretaries or just like an unnamed woman, as a lot of Martin Scorsese's characters are, unnamed woman who doesn't get any words. We're going to pay her a certain amount of money. In the reality of this movie, the bros are going to pay her to shave her head, and she gets you know, not enough money to make a life change like that. But she does it anyway. And I think I've since learned that, like a real version of that played out in the movie with that actress where like she didn't sign up.
She had to shave her head.
She didn't sign up.
Right. She had to.
Right.
The movie,
but she didn't sign up to play like woman who shaves her head in this movie. That was like a thing that organically happened in the making of the movie. And
oh,
like,
no.
There are similar instances like that.
So a bunch of bros, like, making a movie paid her a certain amount of money to shave her head.
What if we put in the movie the thing we're doing to you right now? That's so... Oh,
it's like a scene where all the Wall Street bros are on a plane and they're really terrible to all the female flight attendants. And then you read stories afterwards where it's like, oh yeah, there were some like actual, like people got hurt, like real damage was done. Like this person got a huge cut on their leg. So it's, I'm also watching the movie knowing that in real life, it was a bad time for everyone involved in it.
Yeah, they're just like being bad. And then like, we'll film this, we'll put it in. This would be great for this movie about bad people.
So it's, I have every reason to not watch this movie, and I'm gonna do it again this weekend just because I'm talking about it right now.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking of the
are.
Part in the trailer where Matthew McConaughey is pounding on his chest, and I'm like, yep. This time.
You're literally like, it's the trailer. Yeah. It is. It's like they picked the five best parts of the movie that are trailer worthy, and that's what you want to watch.
That's true of a lot of things in your life, though. You feel like you got a new perspective, maybe. Like, you're going to come at it from a different angle, and you're like, maybe I'll like this thing now. Like, maybe I do like deli mustard. You're like, I'm going to try it now. And, like, maybe I've grown into it. I get that. I get that feeling. And Wolf of Wall Street is just, I don't think, Dan, it's ever going to make you happy. You got to leave it.
Yeah, I think you need to let it go.
No, I can change it.
You're going to do a special edition?
I guess. It's so egregiously bad.
But it's just the trailer?
The shitty character that it's based on shows up in the movie at the end. He has like a small cameo in it. So like, even if you watch that movie thinking, well, at least the real life person saw some kind of sense of justice. No, he's still rich and he's in a Martin Scorsese movie.
No, he got paid. That guy got paid.
And he got played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, he just looks sexy as hell in the movie.
Yeah. Don't watch it, Daniel. Don't watch it. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But
maybe.
You're going to have to. I know. No, you're going to watch. Number 7. Number 7 is going to be good. That's how the rhyme goes. Wolf of Wall Street, never good. The 7th viewing is very good.
Okay, yeah. That is
that
like
a
very
rhyme.
Good rhyme.
Just that old chestnut.
Yeah.
Do you guys have answers to this question? Or should I just like check out and watch Wolf of Wall Street?
So I've been thinking about this. I don't know. So I don't watch. I don't like do a lot of rewatch movies. Unless it's like, I really want to watch this movie that I like, or a lot of like, oh, this is on TV, so I'm going to watch it, because I don't have TV. I've got like Hulu and some things for streaming, but I don't have just like TV, put on the TV, have something on in the background. So I guess my technical answer is like a bad Star Wars movie that I don't enjoy, and I don't even like picking it apart or like making fun of it. It's just like, all right, wash over me. Give me that Ray Palpatine goodness. Just like let it. And the only other answer I could really think of is like an Independence Day or like a Batman Forever, which is like, I know this is bad. I'm not even enjoying how bad it is, but like I started it. So this isn't a movie.
All right. Who cares?
Rewatch shows sometimes. And like partly for like white noise, have something on in the background. Like, I'm gonna watch this, do some chores and stuff. Community is one of them that I revisit every once in a while. And I will still watch season 4.
The bad one.
The bad one. The really bad one. Like, not even like, oh, that's not very good. It's just bad. It's not enjoyable in any way to watch it. I know what happens in it, so I don't need to like catch up on the drama or the plot. It's just bad zombie show of the show I actually want to watch, but I won't skip it because something's wrong.
And that show specifically, like, you can skip that season. It's designed because it was like Dan Harmon did a few seasons, then he got fired, then they did a bad season, then he came back with like a specific... He came back as someone who didn't watch or like the zombie season. So like, if you wanted to be a completist, you don't need to watch that.
Yeah, you don't. You gain nothing. It doesn't matter that Britta or Troy dated. It doesn't. Nothing matters from that. But I will just keep. I'll keep it on because you gotta watch.
I get that with any show that I rewatch. Like, I'll always start with the episodes that I want to watch, and then it's like, all right, well, I guess this means I have to watch season 2 of Friday Night Lights.
Right.
Otherwise, I'll get arrested.
Friday Night Lights is like a quintessential example of that.
They'll know.
it's such a bad, bad season of television. And like, it just feels canonically like, well, if I'm going to do the whole thing, I got to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Even though in your mind, you're like, you know what happens. It's like, it doesn't matter. I got to see it. I got to see Landry cry every single episode. The funniest character on the show, I need to see him cry and be upset.
It just doesn't feel complete. It gives the sense of like, did you turn the stove off when you left your place? No. It's like, this is like, I gotta finish it or this is gonna stay in my brain.
It scratches a very unhealthy itch for you.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't support it, but I'll watch it next time too.
I watch a movie regularly called Any Given Sunday.
Football.
Cody, I wouldn't expect you to know this movie very well.
I'm familiar. I've seen it once, but I will not watch it again.
Pretty sure it's Oliver Stone. It's a... I can't explain what's so compelling to me about it. It would show up at gyms sometimes while I was at the gym, and I would watch some of the gym and then wait for a commercial after I finished my workout so that I could rush home and finish the rest of it. I don't like this movie.
I get that though. Like that's why I kind of couldn't think of like a specific movie because that's just an impulse I have. Like, okay, I've watched like the first act. Well, I have to finish all the movie because I started it.
It's the same compulsion where you start a book and you're like, this book is bad. It'll take me a while to finish this one. And like, you're going to stick with it. Any Given Sunday is like, the thing about it is that even though it's a bad movie, there are cuts about every 2 seconds in that movie. And like, you're checking in on everything. Like there's pictures in a room and you're going to see those for a little while during an argument. And like, it's like watching a fire is the only way the only thing I can equate it to. We're like, I'm not getting anything out of it, but I'm not going to look away from it. I'll watch this forever.
I wonder if this will be fun. Here's what I know about Any Given Sunday. Oliver Stone, Al Pacino, Jamie Foxx, football, Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Berkeley?
Hurley? No, Banks.
Banks.
No, it's not.
Berkeley
it's
or Perkins?
Not. Berkeley. It's Berkeley. It's Berkeley, yeah.
I was right the first time, and I'm not
Elizabeth
proud.
Elizabeth Berkeley.
Cameron Diaz.
That's fine.
I said football already. Football again. I think that's all I know about that movie.
Some sort of box seating, right? It's a lot of scenes in like where they're like watching the games down there, and they're like.
Oh, I thought you said box eating, and I was like, I don't think that's the same movie.
No,
Al Pacino just like
that's
goes
some
for
other
it.
Movie probably, but
Elizabeth Berkeley. There it is. Yeah, you're right. I am a slow typer. Yeah.
Okay, so this does not bode well because my question was, what's the movie about?
Oh, okay. So it's a fictional NFL team, and I don't even know if it's NFL. It might be like a lower level football team. And the quarterback gets hurt. He's an old guy. It's like the team just like moves on from him. So he's dealing with that. And the young new hotshot quarterback is kind of he doesn't play by the rules. I mean, he plays by the rules of football.
Good, yeah.
But the team doesn't respect him. They're not blocking for him. And like, he's all about himself. He's not about the team. Then there's a couple of other little like through lines of like, Ella Cool J is the running back and he's too big for his britches. There's a lot going on. And,
football movie, classic.
And then the coach also, and who's Al Pacino, who finally unifies them all. Like he's the glue of the whole team. He gets them all together. These guys who are all playing for themselves. And he's like, no, life's about a game of inches. Look at your brother next to you. That you'll see a guy there who's willing to go that inch with you. And it's just dog shit. it's a really bad movie. At one point, like there's a player. So they also try to like, show you how violent football can be and how these are like our modern gladiators and what we expect of them. But they do it in a way that doesn't make any sense. Like there's one guy whose eyeball falls out on the field. Yeah, they like this guy picks up his own eyeball in the end zone. And like the shots that Jamie Foxx takes as the quarterback are like each one of them are a car crash. Like it's just him breaking his neck over and over again.
That's why I remember that because it's Oliver Stone. So it's a lot of like you were saying, like they stay on shots for a while or like there's a lot of like sound design going on. And I remember just a lot of like just football players is like banging into each other in these quick. Is that?
It absolutely. There's a lot. Yes, that's the one. There's
like transitions a lot in scenes and stuff. It's like, all right, we're gonna like pound some guys together and then move on. Yeah,
there's a lot of swing pans to like the side of the field. There's just action, 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 and it's all so highly stylized and polished. It's like some sort of algorithm figured out your bliss point, and like it doesn't matter if there's plot or anything. Like you're just watching this thing happen, and it's like it's stimulating enough that you're just staying with it.
It's very funny to me that they're knocking out eyeballs because you don't have to go far to find like examples of football being dangerous.
Not at all.
There's a whole thing about it.
Compound fractures people are getting in their knees and things like that. But they're like, let's do an eyeball. I haven't seen an eyeball
like it's
before.
So, right, that's so weird too. Like you're like the eyeballs. Like you're very close, like anatomically, to like the problem with this game. You're right there.
Hey, it's a new rear, new you, new rear, new poo, poo rear, poo poo. This is the future of toileting. It's arrived. It's been around technically for centuries, but it's been hideously expensive. It's only been for the opposite of the proletariat, the bourgeoisie, I'm going to say. It's costing thousands, but now it's not the Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet. It's just an attachment. You clip it onto your toilet, and it levels the pooing playing field. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just clean your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself. With Hello Tushy, you don't have to wipe at all. You just do your business, you spray, you dry, and you go. Sanitation is simple. It's got a schmutz shield that offers easy cleaning, and the knobs are naturally antimicrobial. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Already got a tush on your pot? Upgrade to the new 3.0 model. If you're new to the revolution, join the millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. The thing I like most about my Hello Tushy is I didn't actually hook it up to the hot water. And in fact, you don't have to. I enjoy that little burst of cold stream water. It really gets me going in the morning. It literally jets my hole. I put it on, I do the normal bidet wash, which is just your butt. And then I like to experiment. I'm like, okay, well, what's this female one all about? And I go for that one and I get a spray in a little bit different area, but also feels like my butt. And then I start to realize I don't know my body that well. So Hello Tushy has really helped me to explore my body as well. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off with free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. hellotushy.com/QQ.
Do we have other questions? Soren, you ask one.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Cody.
Ask a quick one. Is it quick?
Okay. This is a quick question. What? What are some things that you notice that are... You're online regularly, I noticed. What are some things that you notice that are only true online? Like, it does seem like it can be occasionally like a snapshot of society... distilled online, but occasionally things show up online that are just true there. Like there are things that happen on Twitter. I'll give you an example where every few months, everyone decides they hate some classic book. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's just like, you know what? Moby Dick sucks. And then everyone jumps on, like piles on about how much Moby Dick sucks. And that's not
Infinite
true.
Infinite Jest is a big one.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course.
Or like that's not even like, but yeah, it's a slightly different impulse I think there. But the Moby Dick thing, I specifically remember exactly that happening.
And Catcher in the Rye will show up in there a lot. Just these books that are tried and true classics. If you have the right teacher, you have the right tools with which to examine it. You're like, there's a lot going on here. It's very complex. It's a good story. People just all of a sudden decide how much they hate it. And then they view it through the context of a lens of things they learned yesterday in terms of like... Mm-hmm. How we should treat other people. And like the book is obviously outdated for that kind of thing. Mark Twain is a great example of that. And when you view it through that lens, it's very easy to just like pick it apart and be like, fuck this thing. And people just love to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah. That's I mean, kind of related. Like it's that because you can read a book and you can talk about the symbolism of a book and the imagery going on and what they're trying to say, and also talk about the context in which it was written. That's actually enriches the experience of reading a book.
Totally.
And talking about it. So all the things, it's always fascinating to me when something like that happens, because the conversation is always like, this is the kind of conversation that would happen in a classroom. And you're mad that you're having the conversation.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're mad that you're talking about these things as if that's not part of the process and part of the point. Like, that's part of reading something. And it's always slightly related. It's always, like, comparing that to, like, young adult fiction. Yeah. There's a weird fetishism of like young adult fiction and like the Hunger Games style stuff. Not that specifically, but like
Maze Runner and stuff like that.
Yeah, that kind of thing where it's like, this is like real stuff. They talk about real stuff. It's like, yeah, they talk about it on the surface because it's for children. Like the things, the ideas being explored are being like explicitly said via the plot and the characters, which is why it's not really studied in great detail. Because you don't need to, because they say it. Because it's not like literature.
Don't show.
Yeah, exactly. Just like say what the characters are and what they want and why they're doing it and like what they mean and what they're for.
From my favorite book, The Eventually Dead Gatsby.
It's just like a weird like childish thing. Like the Gatsby's a great example where it's like, Gatsby actually sucks. Yeah.
Right.
Have you read it? That's the fucking thing about, like, that's the point.
Just about a bunch of rich white people.
Yeah.
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 Yes, yes, exactly. Yes. I wonder what he meant by that. Like, it's just, so much of it is, that is the discourse of, like, people realizing these things and then, like, talking about them at length and being like, if you wrote that as a paper, the teacher might be like, that's a good point. What does that lead to? Like, what does that make you feel? What does that make you think of? Like, it's anger about thinking about stuff.
Yeah, it's pissed off that this thing isn't gone already. Like, no, we decided it's bad. Get it out of here. Let's burn it.
There's something that... go ahead.
And
talk about why it's bad. That's fine. That's part of it. That's part of it, is talking about why it's bad now.
Something, I mean... Everything about Twitter has gotten worse in our lifetimes, except for the beginning parts of our lifetime when Twitter didn't exist. But there's
something that
used to happen every once in a while on Twitter that I just loved that has completely gone away whenever the subject of, like, usually some piece of visual art, like a painting or something or a statue or architecture, some normal bozo like you or I would post a picture on Twitter of just, like, I really like this painting, or I really like this statue. All right, here it is. His face is funny to me. And other people would, like, retweet it or like it. And then some fucking hero would come out who was like, I see we're talking about statues. Well, I've been studying statues in college for 19 years, and I've been silent, and now I'm allowed to talk to you about what's great about this. And they give you, like, genuinely fascinating insight because it's someone who's got an expertise in this thing, and they've never had an opportunity to like show it off to anyone. And if they're tweeting about art and statues all day, no one gives a shit. But this is something like you'd watch an expert jump onto something that had already become viral, and it wasn't like an armchair quarterback or an armchair political theorist or an armchair comedian. It was a person who's genuinely like, oh, like, I see you really like this painting. Well, you'll probably be really interested to learn more about the fucking artist, Renoir or whatever. Renoir, that's a painter, right? Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
But it was like someone who was genuinely, like, passionate and knowledgeable about something would come out, and, like, the rest of Twitter just, like, sat and was like, cool, I'm happy to learn about this thing.
It's that
we don't have that anymore. I don't know if they were scared off or...
It's that flame that Neil deGrasse Tyson is, like, trying to reclaim over and over again in a way that's very pedantic and annoying. Mm. But, like, you're absolutely right. Like, there was... occasionally they do it with, like, a movie or something, and somebody would come out of the woodwork and be like, you know, it's actually very exciting. Like, a shit movie, but they would come out of the woodwork and they'd be like, you know what's actually interesting? They provide some insight into why, like, that aspect of the movie is actually really kind of cool, and, like, that they did work very hard on the math of it or whatever it is. And you're like,
it always started with a dummy's appreciation of, like, this shot in this movie was cool. And then someone was like, oh, you know, he had to invent this new style to film to get that shot, to make that accomplishable. And then you get to see, like, you know, a person with...
Yeah, here's the process of this and this and this.
Not total, but an academic's knowledge of a subject given to you in, like, this fun Twitter thread PowerPoint thing.
Right. It's not like, some, like you were saying, like, it's not Eric Garland being like, all right, buckle up, fuck nuggets. Like, he's doing his, like, bullshit. It's like, no, hello. Yeah. I know everything about this one thing. And
it's always some guy who's like, oh, you like tea? Well, I've been studying it for my entire life. I'm going to tell you something interesting about it. And then I'm going to go back to being anonymous forever. I was like, good. That's what.
Everyone's that guy now, though. Kind of related. It's not. It's always. It's not. They people don't do that anymore with the movie shots, even because most of the, at least what I see, most of like, oh, this is the best fucking shot in cinema. It's always in Marvel movies now. It's something that I really don't understand these days. Where it's like, it's this weird like grayscale. Like maybe there's some blue in there, and it's like a wide shot of like Tony Stark in a battle. And it's like, this is fucking, this is the height of cinema. And it's like, not, they're not doing it ironically. It's like this, literally like, look at this shot.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you pay attention to like the frame, it's got Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man in it. They're basically the big three. Like, yeah, no.
Right. And it's like, it's usually like the actual image is usually like a screenshot of like a YouTube video. So it's like extra grainy. And it's like, it's just interesting. It's kind of in the same way of the like the young adult fiction, where it's like you love this because it's on the surface. They're very obvious about the things. You can like it's like Civil War. It's like, oh, look at Captain America's on one side of the screen and Tony Stark's on the other, and they're fighting each other because they're against each other. Yeah, that's how you'd frame that shot if that were happening in that movie. Like there's nothing deeper going on,
right?
But there's I think a drive to find that kind of stuff, right? Like people want to be like, this is like, have you ever thought about this in this context? Like, well, that doesn't necessarily work. You're just, it's like it's almost like a post cracked, where it's like, have you ever thought about this in this way, in this way, in this way, and like all these layers? Like, well, you're just thinking too much. Right. Just like calm down. It's fine. You can just like stuff.
There's
it's
also,
okay.
I've seen people who, like there was a GIF someone shared of a scene from The Breakfast Club where all the characters, it's when they know Principal Vernon is on their case and they need to get back to the library and quick. And there's a scene where they run down one hallway and you see them all sort of slide into frame. All of them realize we can't go down this hallway and they all have to run back the other way. It's a fun scene. And someone like took that GIF and was like, look at this. The brainy character, he stumbles because he's like nervous and anxious. And if you look, John Bender, he's like not too shaken up by it. Like every character does the thing that their character is supposed to do. And this person, A, thinks they're the first person in the world who noticed it, and B, thinks it somehow was not planned. Like, they just think the universe gave them this, or it's like, no, if you look closely, it's like, no, don't look closely. Someone wrote a script, and then the director was like, play the scene this way.
Yeah, and the actors made choices. Like, the actors were like, I guess what this is, I know what this character is like.
Right,
this
Anthony
is what this
Michael Hall probably
do.
Thought, like, now it would be weird if my character did a perfect backflip into the scene. So I'll just act like a nerd would act.
What if I lean into the character I'm playing? That's a that's something that is it's all related to what we've been talking about this whole time, actually. Like, because it's just this it's a drive to like point out stuff like that and be like, I noticed this and you didn't notice this. I noticed this, but also it's because movies are like not like movies. There are good movies out there, but like a lot of like just mainstream movies that are made and the popular ones like fucking Marvel movies are really simple and on the surface, and so people aren't necessarily used to like watching like comedies these days, like an old school, or like not these days, it's fucking 29 motherfucking years ago. How old am I? But like comedies these days, like a Judd Apatow thing or something like that. It's like, well, yeah, that's a different kind of movie. Movies used to be like that. We're like, okay, I'm embodying this character, and as the director of the movie, I'm going to plan this shot out.
Yeah.
And comedy specifically these days, but in general, like, that kind of thought doesn't necessarily go into it, so people don't notice it in movies these days. And then when we watch old ones, they're like, oh wow, they actually did their fucking jobs. Look at the actors acting and the director directing the script that was written for this.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, all right, we got to get this shot because the sequence is going to happen. We got the graphics team is already working on the fucking battle from last year, so we need to make sure that it matches up with this. Instead of like, I am going to make a 90-minute piece of art for people to enjoy, and we just don't have as much of that, or we do and just like people are lazy. I don't know.
Soren, what was your question? Did we stray from it?
There's a
Oh, so yeah,
a little bit. But go ahead.
I think I've got an actual answer to just like a uniquely online thing. I think.
Yeah, something that's only true in the online universe. Yeah.
And this is not necessarily like nobody does this in real life, but it's very prominent online, and it's always funny to me. It's just like horny people, and it's not like oh, this is like sex workers account, or like this is like they're pushing their OnlyFans or like anything like that. It's just like a person just being like, I need to get choked and have someone spit in my mouth.
Yeah, this is the online, and like, is the first, like, time I've heard people say like rearrange my guts or like I hit my back walls. Shit, yeah, where I'm like, right, whoa.
Like, I, yeah, and like it's the kind of thing where it's like, we don't walk around in malls and shout these things. Like, it's the kind of stuff where it's like, maybe in like in a, like a group of friends, right? Yeah. Like, okay, like with like five close friends, and we're like talking about being really fucking horny or something. But like, it's not a public thing that we do. And Twitter's definitely brought that out. I'm just like, you know, they're tweeting about movies, they're tweeting about politics, they're tweeting about their day, and suddenly they're like, I just need to get fucking blasted. It's like, let's not. That's different than the others, that's new to society.
It's funny how unless it's like a politician who's being horny and we don't like it, it's funny how it almost immediately the internet has decided to embrace that thing as something great. I'm sure I sound prudish by not jumping on that bandwagon, but someone will just tweet like, oh, you know what sucks is I woke up today and Timothy Oliphant wasn't fucking me up the ass, and everyone's like, brave. I was like, I don't know. If someone shouted that at school, I would be concerned.
Now I need to think about, like, yeah, it's like, what are you putting out there? It's it is brave, though, you know, in a way,
right? in its own way. Yeah, I guess I probably
posting is brave in general.
I'm sure we all sound very British to a lot of people, but it's very startling. It's just very jarring. It's very jarring to see, and I think that's the point of a lot of it, is like people are like, no, like, this is a really funny, this is objectively funny. But some people are not joking at all. It's just like, they're just, and we have a term for it. It's horny on Main. Like, that's, it's just happens.
And I don't even necessarily have like a problem with it. It's just like a thing that is true and a thing that we do now as a society, specifically online, when we're posting as ourselves, like that we would present ourselves in real life. Yeah. And like, go for it. That's fine. You know, we all get horny. It's just interesting.
That we, that's, I guess, all I'm asking for is like, what are these interesting things? Like, there's one that I don't know what to do with. I'm sure it's fine. But everybody online is very casual about fantasizing about dying. Like, everybody, a lot of the jokes are about like how much better life would be if it just didn't exist, if they were dead. Mm. And I'm like, do you really feel that way? Is this a call for help? Like, what should I?
It's that collective misery I think we all log on to participate in, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, everyone fucking sucks, and so do I. Ah, everything is bad. And then you're like, what if we were all dead? That would be great. What if we were all fucking, and then we died? That would be even better. Yeah. Expression of that, just like collective despair. Yeah.
I've certainly noticed.
This person used to tweet about stars. What is going on?
Right, exactly. I'm waiting for Neil to be like, you ever just want to get your ass fucking destroyed?
Yeah. You know who I like? Lisa Kendrick. Yeah. The things I would do to her.
Very different, but spot on. Neil deGrasse Tyson's. Really, both of you came with your impressions.
Mm-hmm. Ah, heck yeah, here we go. Here's my favorite star. Been working on it for a while.
I've certainly noticed, and this is I'm certainly a pot calling a kettle black here, the opposite of horny on Main, with like the internet has collectively 100% of the population awkward, nervous, doesn't fuck, no one knows what to do at parties. It's annoying. Oh, yeah. like comedically, it's like those jokes have been done already, and we're not adding anything new to that discourse. Realistically, it's also annoying because it's like objectively not true, and like, I don't want to call anyone specifically out, but like 100% of us can't have crippling social anxiety that makes all of us incapable of talking to people. Right,
people do talk in person. We used to all the time year and a half ago. I think that's it's It's both, right? Because there are people with that, like, yeah, crippling social anxiety, and
it comes in surprising forms. You know,
all that stuff going on.
I'm gonna just pull someone very famous, but like, just because you are as famous as Chrissy Teigen or you look like Chrissy Teigen doesn't mean you might have been confident your entire life. There's a chance that the person that you think is confident and popular also struggles with these things. That's
yeah, exactly. Totally yeah. Yeah, but a lot of it is just like, me too, right?
Ah, parties are bad. I hate parties.
Ah, right? I want to be home eating Doritos with my cat.
I hate drinking, talking to my friends.
That's also my. That's our Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's just evolved a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, he was tweeting that too. I'm just the idea of Neil just like tweeting like any other person. I'd like to see that. Although, to be fair, I don't know what he tweets like now these days.
I think he's still doing stuff like debunking movies that he does. That he thinks like still talking about gravity and stuff. Yeah. And you're like, I don't care, man.
I would love if like every week he still like fires one off about the movie Gravity.
Yeah, he's still very hung up on Gravity.
Like, and the constellations in Titanic. Just like
it's so much that you want the director of Gravity to be like, okay, Neil, I'll change it. I'll fix it.
Special edition. Okay. Here you go. It's new. Yeah, we're reshooting it. Here, Neil, you can direct it. It's your movie now. Do it.
Okay, Neil, I did it.
Your movie.
I did your note, and so now Gravity, the movie, didn't happen. Is that better?
right. Like we pulled the movie. You can't watch it now.
So last Saturday night,
do you like this?
You didn't watch Gravity. Was that better than the night you watched Gravity?
Right. You clearly watch Gravity every single week to get mad about it. Now you don't
because
have to.
I was thinking about it.
I would like to see Neil Tyson. I think it's about a few like people like public figures. I would like him to write a novel, and a screenplay. I want to see his movie, right? Because he complains about it all the time. He's like, well, don't this, and I want to see his movie that's boring as fuck. where nothing happens, but it's very accurate.
Yeah.
Carl Sagan wrote Contact, the movie. It really like it tells you everything you need to know about like what he thinks about like space, right? And like here's our place in the universe, and like it's got a lot going on there. And I want Neil's.
Yeah,
to be
I really
like,
want
well,
I want
actually.
Jack on the deck of the Titanic being like, Rose, look, those stars are accurate, and she's like, that makes me horny for you. Like, good movie, Neil.
And he's like, well, I'm dead. And she's like, well, at least I can look at these accurate stars.
That sounds very much like a movie.
And then
she's
like, Cassiopeia. Like,
I would watch at the gym and then rush home to catch the rest of mm-hmm, mm-hmm. just because I hate
That's
it
what
so much.
We're all trying to make, honestly. We're all trying to make a movie that people cannot not watch after they watch a scene at the gym.
Well, I think we're about wrapped up here. Dan, you have any other questions? Okay. Well, then I'm going to go. Shoot. I should have kept these close by. I have all of our information about to where to follow us on Twitter and everything, but I keep it in my attic still. I think it's with the Christmas stuff. I'll go look. But in the meantime, Cody, I wanted to give you a chance. When you were fired from Cracked... on your way out, someone said a very insulting thing to you. Do you remember what that was?
I remember my exit interview being asked what I did at the website. Just real valued employee at cracked.com. I believe the phrase was, what did you do here? Because it was like, because the tone all day was like, it is a bad day for everybody here. And I'm here to make you feel better. So what did you do here? Could have asked somebody else before going into that room, but it's fine.
You can follow Cody Johnson at Dr. Mr. Cody. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. There's also an email for quick question at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, Soren checks that email now.
There's an Instagram. Do not check that. To please do not.
Oh, don't check your email. Don't do that.
Oh, quick question, has a Twitter account as well. It's QQ_Soren and Dan. We have Patreon, which is Patreon.com/quickquestion. And then you can find and follow and hire our producer and sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder at GabeHarder.com, because he got his website back. Also, Cody, here's a chance for you to plug all the things that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. Hello. I'd like to plug this wonderful show with my wonderful friends. Quick question, Soren and Dan.
It's sad.
Dan and Soren. Sad? It's sad. So I have a show called Some More News on YouTube. You can check it out if you Google those words. And we have a podcast called Even More News. If you want to support us in a other way, patreon.com/somemorenews. I also co-host a podcast called Worst Year Ever. And I imagine that's it. I think that's it.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
That's how we end the show, Cody, by the way.
See ya.